Good morning. If you have your Bibles, please take them and open them to Romans chapter 10. And if you don't have a Bible, we keep them in the seats in front of you there. You can take that. If you don't own one, you can have that. If you know someone who needs one, you can take it for them. But our text today, Romans 10, 14 through 17. And just while you're turning there, one quick announcement. I think you know, or most of you know if you've been coming here, that we are having a mission trip. Let's see, it's March 4th through 11th. It's going to go to San Jose, Costa Rica through Movida. And we have about 20 applicants. We were thinking, we're shooting of 25 total max size for the team. Deadline was Friday, but we're going to be a little flexible with that if God is leading you to join. And if you still want to be a part of that, we can take about 5 more applicants. So if you want to be a part of that, try to get your applications in this week, okay? Because we have to shut the door to this pretty soon. So if you want to go, cost is $1,300. Bert and Amanda Newman are leading that team, and they're going to be doing a variety of different things on the field, helping with an orphanage, helping in schools, doing some medical work too, we think. So if you want to be a part of that, we want to encourage you to do that. All right, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. The Word of God says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes through hearing, from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Let's pray again. Father, I pray that your Spirit would have freedom to move in our hearts this morning as we unpack your word, and that you would speak to us, that you would help us to see, you would challenge us and convict us, and help us to grow. And Lord, I know I'm surrounded by a group of people who come from all different walks of life. Some have walked with you for a long time. Some are here just checking it out. Lord, in all cases, I pray that your Spirit would be moving in people's hearts. And if there are those who are here and they are outside of the gospel today, I pray that today would be the day that they would trust in you. They would leave here completely different. I pray that your gospel would be clear. I pray that I wouldn't get in the way of that. I pray for your wisdom in the things that I say. And I pray for the needs of your people. Move here among us this morning, Father. Help us to see how wonderful and beautiful the gospel is. Help us to rejoice in our testimonies that you have saved us. You have given us life when we deserved death. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. When I was 17 years old, I went to a youth group and we studied the book of Romans, kind of a little lighter than we're doing in this format, but we were looking through some stories, and I don't remember the whole study, but I do remember how it was when we got to this passage, because that conversation stayed with me. We were discussing how important missions were, okay, from this text. We were discussing how important missions were, and someone asked about people who, perhaps maybe some remote tribe out in the jungles who've never heard the gospel. And the question that was posed, and kind of hypothetically, was, would that people be spared God's wrath? Would a person, let me put it this way. The question was asked, what about that guy? If he's never heard the gospel, will he be liable for judgment before God in the judgment? If he lived and died outside of the reach of the gospel, would he be saved? And there were two answers given in this study, and they were both horribly wrong, given by the guy who was teaching the study, the youth leader at the time. First, he assured us that God would never condemn someone who lived and died outside of the reach of the gospel. For him, it was inconceivable and unfair for God to act in that manner, to him to behave that way, he argued. He couldn't imagine God doing that. Then he assured us that it really was a moot topic anyway, because In the 90s, this was in the 90s, just to date myself here, it was in the early 90s, there were no people living outside of the reach of the gospel. Not these days, right? I mean, everybody surely has heard the gospel now. And at the time, both answers sounded really good to me. I left there thinking, that's great. It wasn't until later, in the summer, when I began to see how misguided those answers were. I went on a mission trip to the jungles of Venezuela. Our first stop was a city called Puerto Ayacucho, on the edge of the jungle there. And then we loaded up into small planes, and we flew out to a little village called Parima, on the Venezuelan border with Brazil, deep in the jungle. I sat in the front of the plane, and I had the headsets on. You know, it was a little Cessna, and I had the headsets on so I could hear the pilot and talk with the pilot, unless he was using the radio. And so I was chatting with the pilot there, and we were passing over these little villages, little clearings in the jungle. So it'd be all jungle and then a little clearing. And I would ask the pilot, I'd say, so tell me about that tribal group. Is that group, have they heard the gospel? And he would say, no, they haven't heard the gospel. Not to my knowledge. I don't think anyone has ever even contacted that people. And then we'd pass over another group and I'd ask the same thing and he'd say the same thing. No. And this dozens of times on this flight until we got to the village where we were flying to. And then we landed. And Yanomamo Christians came to the airplane and met us. And that night, we stayed in a missionary house, a little block house out there in the middle of the jungle, and we listened to their testimonies. One by one, these tribal guys told us how they had once lived in darkness, and then the gospel broke through, they heard the gospel, and they trusted in Christ. I laid in my hammock that night, and I tried to make sense of it all. Clearly, there were people, even in the 90s, who were living outside of the reach of the gospel. And my mind went back to that study that we had in the youth group. And I grabbed a flashlight. I was laying in this hammock, it's middle of the night, jungle. Grabbed a flashlight and my Bible, and I opened to Romans 10. And I read this paragraph. And I realized that that youth guy was wrong on both fronts. The only way, according to Paul, to be made right with God is to call by faith on the name of Jesus Christ. And no one calls without hearing the good news. So those who haven't heard are lost in their sin. Now, people object and they're offended with that kind of talk because it does not strike them as fair. We often think that God ought to operate according to what our judgment of fairness is. And it's not fair in our judgment that those who haven't heard of Jesus are still outside of grace, still condemned in their sin. But by this time in Romans, you know, we're at chapter 10. That objection has been dealt with and handled. When we say we think God is not being fair with them, we are in essence saying that God owes them more than he's giving them. So in our minds, somehow they deserve God's favor. But by this time in Romans, we know that no one deserves God's favor. That's why it's called favor. That's why it's called grace. No one earns mercy. You can't earn mercy. And the fact is, we're all up to our necks in sin and depravity, and we are all fully deserving of God's judgment. So we need grace, and grace, by its very definition, is undeserved. The news of grace is this, and you can see it in Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone who shared with us that night in the Yanomamo village told us how they called on the name of the Lord. And all Christians, all real, genuine, born-again, heaven-bound Christians are people who have called and are calling on the name of the Lord. That's the message of God's grace. Everyone who calls is saved from their sin and from judgment. From the judgment that that sin brings us before God, before a holy and righteous God. Romans 10, 14 through 17, unpack Romans 10, 13. In this paragraph, we see where the calling on the name of the Lord comes from. The conditions that must be met for one to call on the Lord. This is the backstory of the gospel. Or the backstory of each and every testimony of a true believer. We do see also here that even when all of these conditions are met, some people will still not believe. They refuse to believe. We're behind the scenes in Romans 10:13, understanding what must take place in order for someone to call in the name of the Lord and be saved. And we're even in that, we're seeing the reality that everything might be in place for them and they still might not call on the name of the Lord. As we unpack this, I'm kind of hoping for one of three outcomes, depending on where you're at. First, I'm hoping that you will see in this paragraph your own testimony. There's a lot more to you being a Christian than the fact that you one time decided and trusted in Christ. God was at work long before you called on Him, and so I want you to see God's grace in your testimony as we unpack this. And then as we hear Garrett's testimony, Garrett Dockweiler is going to share his testimony in a few moments. And then as we turn with remembrance to the Lord's Supper, remembering what God has done, that's all our testimony. That's the backstory of our testimony. That is the story of our testimony. Second, I'm hoping that you will call on the name of the Lord today if you're not a genuine believer. And I know, I'm not naive. I don't think that just because you're in church, you're following Christ. I know that's not the case for everyone. And I know there are lots of reasons why we come to church. And so I prayed for you this morning. If you're in that place where you don't know Christ, I prayed that God would break through with His grace this morning. You would hear and you would believe. And third, as you think about these conditions, for the gospel to save, and, you know, you think of those alongside with God's global mandate or His global desire to reach the ends of the earth with the gospel. I want you, and I'm praying that some here would feel the sending call of God to go with beautiful feet, taking the gospel to the nations. As I laid in my hammock back then, in that little house there in 1990, pondering the big realities that were just smacking me in the face, that many were indeed outside of the reach of the gospel, and that God, by His grace, had saw fit that I would hear and believe, that I'd be born in a place where I would hear the gospel. I became convinced that God wanted me to spend the rest of my days on this earth preaching the gospel. And for me, that meant a lot of things. It meant Northern Asia for a long time. And now it means here. And I hope that some here today will feel that sense as well. So let's begin by seeing the chain of commissions that must be met for someone to be saved. He lists them in reverse order, okay? He's working his way back in time. Paul backs us up so that we can see what comes before the calling on the name of the Lord. And before believing and before hearing and before preaching. So let's go right back to the beginning and then work our way back to calling on the name of the Lord. The first condition is that someone has to be sent. And I think the sender that Paul has in mind is God. Even though that in that sending, God uses all kinds of means. He sends people through churches. Churches send out missionaries. Christians support missionaries. I mean, that's how this works. But God sends them. God sends people to other people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And to support that, he quotes Isaiah 52:7. Which says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And at first that seems like a really strange way to support the sending. But then you think about it and it actually makes a lot of sense. The preacher goes and his feet take him there. And on big journeys, especially back then, feet got beat up, bloodied, scarred, dirty. Now, you know, you think of it, bloodied, scarred, dirty feet. That doesn't sound beautiful, does it? That doesn't sound beautiful at all. That sounds ugly. Especially compared to the feet of people who don't go on long journeys. They're pampered and clean. And so you consider why those feet look the way that they do. They're bloodied because they've run over rough and dangerous country with enthusiasm and self-denial and abandon, reckless abandon. Heralding the greatest and most glorious news in the universe, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you think of it like that, then those beat up feet are precious and they are beautiful to behold because we know why they're that way. They are feet of those who go. Now I know, you know, this isn't so literal. Missionaries' feet aren't as literally as beat up as they used to be, but the truth still holds. It is a dangerous world, and by and large, it is a world that is hostile to the gospel. In many places of the world, going to people with the gospel means great physical hardship and risk, as we see risk. Missions is not easy, especially frontline, cutting-edge missions with unreached or least-reached people groups. It's not easy. It's hard. David Platt said it really well in a quote, I think 2 years ago. He said, he's preaching at a conference, and he said, unreached peoples are unreached for a reason. They're hard, difficult, and dangerous to reach. All the easy ones are taken. People who go to these places with the message of life, they're going to get their feet bloodied in the process. And that is a beautiful thing. They have beautiful feet. And the point is that long before anyone can call on the name of the Lord, someone has to go. And that going is hard. Someone has to go to them with the gospel. The first step in the means of God saving someone is sending someone to tell them the gospel. That's how everyone in this room became a Christian. That's how you, if you're a believer, that's how you became a Christian. Someone told you. And someone told the person who told you. And someone who told the person who told the person who told you. And so it goes. That's how the gospel goes. And that's how it's going to go to the ends of the earth. And that hits on the next step, doesn't it? The one who goes preaches. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who goes does what I'm doing today. It doesn't mean that the gospel is transmitted only through preachers or only through missionaries. Every time someone tells the gospel, every time somebody points someone else to Jesus, they are preaching. They are proclaiming or heralding the good news. Preachers like me preach. Missionaries preach. And so do good friends, and so do coworkers, and so do dorm mates, and so do parents when they herald the good news of Jesus Christ to others. The one sent is sent to preach or herald or proclaim or tell. And that's the point. Without that preacher, there's no hearing. That just makes sense, right? If someone doesn't tell me something, I don't hear it. It doesn't mean that I will hear it if they tell me, right? Many people don't hear what people tell them. I mean, I get that all the time in marriage counseling. So we might not hear it if we're told, but the point is we definitely won't hear it if no one tells us. So those are the conditions so far, right? Someone has to be sent. Someone has to go. Someone has to preach. And we have to hear. And the next step is, having heard, we must believe. Lots of people hear and refuse to believe. Lots of people stumble over the stumbling stone of Christ. That's the whole context of this paragraph. Most people, in fact, reject the gospel. That's just reality. So just hearing is not enough. We have to hear and believe. And when we believe the message, we call on the name of the Lord and we are saved. Verse 17 sums up the whole process. Verse 17 is just kind of a summary. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The word of Christ, that means the gospel, the message of the saving message of the gospel that Jesus Christ died in our stead. When the gospel is preached, people are sent, they go, they preach, people hear, and when they hear, many believe, they have faith. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. That is the only way. And right in the middle of this, Paul makes the somber point that many have all those conditions met and still refuse to trust in Christ. That's what verse 16 says. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Or a better translation, Lord, who has believed our message? And I hope you can see what this means. For those who have not obeyed the gospel, he's saying, those people not obeyed the gospel, even though all the conditions were met. They didn't obey. They didn't trust. If they had obeyed, they would have trusted. But they disobeyed. And you know, he has his Jewish kinsmen in mind. That's the context of this argument. This has everything to do with our context. In an almost unprecedented way, all of the gospel conditions have been met for those who live in the Christianized West. We have access to the gospel. We are not unreached. We are not least reached. The gospel is everywhere and preached freely. You have heard it. But that doesn't make you a Christian unless you have heard and believed it and then called on the name of the Lord from faith. Some refuse to believe even though all the conditions are met. And man, I feel this as a pastor every time I get up here and preach. Because I know so many here. I know that so many people hear with the ears, but they do not believe. And I just want you to think about that so that you would not refuse, but having heard, you would trust. Everything is done for you. Christ has died for everyone who will trust in Him, bearing the weight of their sin on His own shoulders, paying the sin debt entirely. And all who believe in Him alone will be saved. And so I hope that you will hear the word of Christ today and let that seed take root in your heart and spring up as faith in Jesus Christ. I think Paul hoped and prayed that some of his Jewish kinsmen would read the book of Romans. They would read Romans 10. He hoped that they would see in Romans 10 the grace of God in sending people to them, the people who faithfully proclaim the gospel to them. He hoped and prayed that they would understand that God has met all the conditions for their salvation. Someone was sent. Someone preached. They heard. And now all that was left was for them to believe, to obey the gospel by faith, and be saved. And I hope that's how we will hear this morning. But another way I hope we will hear this morning brings me back to Venezuela in 1990 or 1991. And there's many tribal groups in the villages that were isolated from the gospel. You know, I've understood a lot more about missions through the years, you know. That was a tiny sampling of the unreached of the world. Today, in 2016, there are 16,542 people groups that comprise the world. And over 6,700 of those groups are without the gospel, without a reliable testimony of the saving knowledge of Christ. That's 40% of the world's population, 40% of the world's people groups. Or to put it another way, and I know, man, this is like mind-blowing statistics, but 7.38 billion people, that's what the population of the world is, give or take 100 million. And of those 7.38 billion people, 3.1 billion live and die in unreached areas outside of the reach of the gospel. That is massive. I read a quote this week from R.C. Sproul. It just broke my heart. He said, more people today, and he was talking about the population soaring and what it means for the population soaring and people who are dying outside the reach of the gospel. Just to put it into perspective, he said, more people will die today without hearing the name of Jesus Christ than any day since God created Adam and Eve. And tomorrow will break today's record. And you think, what's their fate? What is the fate of all those people? You can see their fate in this text. If they call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. But how will they call on Him if they do not believe? And how will they believe if they don't hear, if they're not reached? And how will they hear unless someone is sent to preach to them? And the very simple rhetorical answer is, they won't. They won't hear. They won't believe. They won't call on the name of Jesus. They won't be saved. Now, to put that into the context of the church, Jesus said to us just before He ascended into heaven, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another way he said it was, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. You see, we're commissioned to go to them. We are sent. But will we go? As a church, will we go? Will you go? Whatever that might mean for your life, will you go? You can stay and just live in life with pampered feet, or you can go and get your feet bruised and bloodied and scarred and dirty and have the beautiful feet of those who herald the good news of Jesus Christ. Finally, kind of the last way, I've already mentioned it, that I'd like you to see from this text. I hope you can see your testimony in this paragraph. I hope that you can see that God's grace went way beyond just you hearing, just you believing the gospel. The fact that you heard it. The fact that someone, go back there for a moment in your minds. Someone told you about Jesus Christ, and you were in a place where you would have ears to listen. And you obeyed the gospel if you're a Christian. You believed. What amazing grace God has shown you. Right? We're going to hear now from Garrett Dockweiler as he tells us how this went from him. And then we're going to switch gears and just remember what Christ has done on the cross for us through the Lord's Supper. Before we do that, let's pray. And Garrett, maybe you can make your way up. Father, I pray that you would just move through your Spirit in our hearts this morning. That you challenge and convict, and you would help us to see that we wouldn't live our lives and die for the petty things of the world, but that we would live and die for your glory and for your name alone. In Jesus' name, amen. You have to use it.